In public speaking, or when we were learning how to give a homily, one of the principal rules is never start your speech, never start your homily with an admonition or a correction. But I'm going to break that rule today. Do not tell me I look pretty in pink. I do not look pretty in pink. In any case, this is not pink. This is rose. You see, this is pink here. You see the difference in the color? Indeed, this is rose. So if you're going to say anything to me, say on one hand, wow, Father, you must be really secure in your masculinity to wear rose. And on the other hand, you can say, oh, Father, you look ravishing in rose. Indeed. Quick little story about pink. When my mother died, my father and my siblings and I were at the Haran McConaty Mortuary at Colorado Boulevard in Mississippi, arranging for her funeral arrangements. We had to purchase a casket for her. We're down in the basement room where all the caskets are, looking at the various models and options. At one point, my brother comes across a very, very nice pink casket, at least in his estimation. And so he says to us all, I think Mom would like to be buried in this. And without thinking, I spontaneously said, are you kidding? Mom wouldn't be caught dead in that thing. She was not buried in pink, although she had been pretty in pink. For the last 2 weeks, Deacon Ernie and Deacon Phil have been sharing with us various modes or ways in which we can continue to prepare this Advent season to celebrate not simply Christ's birth, but the return of Christ at the second coming. What I'd like to do in some sense is pick up on that and complement it with my homily today. They've been speaking about the ways we spiritually prepare, that is, in our relationship with God. But what I'd like to do is talk about ways in which we prepare physically or relationally or socially with one another to celebrate Christ's birth and to celebrate his second coming. Most specifically this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul lists that beautiful hymn of love. And it begins with, love is patient, love is kind. And then a little bit later, love is not inflated. So I'd like to speak about those three virtues of love and how we should and can engage more and more in being a virtuous people, a people of love, a people of patience, a people of kindness, a people of courtesy, which is not being inflated, not thinking more of ourselves than we are and thinking rightly of the other who is. So, first of all, love is patience. What is patience? The root word for patience in Greek is the exact same root word as to be crazy. It's crazy to be patient, at least the ancients thought it was. That's why it's so wonderful that it's a Christian, and we believe human virtue to be patient with one another. What is patience then? Patience is that ability to put yourself in another's world before demanding that he or she put themselves in your world. And when that happens, what happens is that there are no longer two separate worlds, but a new world has been created for the both of us. Patience, in a very real way, then, is the virtue of Christmas. Patience is the virtue by which God chose to put himself in our world before demanding that we put ourselves in his world. In any case, we couldn't. But what he did then is created the one new world that we call the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And it has been restored to us even now in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus himself said, if you believe, then you know the kingdom of heaven is already within you. It is already here. It just needs to blossom forth as a newborn babe is born of his or her mother. So you can see why it's so important that we be patient and grow in our patience with one another, because in that way we can look at the world which we have created by a lack of patience with one another, and work evermore to create a new world in which to live, A world in which our children are not growing up scared of the future, in which we are not raising our children scared for their future. The world we woke up to morning on the news and that we will go back to bed to at night. So Satan will always work, first of all, on patience. Because if he can destroy patience in a relationship, if he can destroy patience in a world, then he's destroyed Christmas. He's destroyed the incarnation of Christ. He's destroyed that new world that patience brings about. Satan's not going to tempt you to fly airplanes into 68-story buildings in New York City. I don't even know how to fly, so he's not going to worry about that. But he's going to tempt every one of us in subtle ways to be impatient with our spouses, with our children, with one another. So the first virtue of love is patience. Love is patient. The second virtue is kindness. Love is kind. It is not the same as patience, but what is it? On one hand, kindness is that virtue by which we show that we are well disposed to life, and in a particular way that we are well disposed to the life of the other who is here before us. You see, when God created the world in 6 days and then he rested on the seventh day, God blessed everything that he had created as good. God presumed and declared and blessed everything to be good that he had created. And then on the seventh day he rested because it was all good. So on one hand, when we live God's relationship to his creation ourselves, we presume goodness on the part of the other. We presume that they have been blessed, that God has blessed them in their creation, in his image and likeness. That's why, for example, Mother Teresa, now Saint Teresa of Calcutta, could say, if you see Jesus Christ in your heart, you will see his face in every human being. To presume the goodness of Christ is to presume the goodness of his brothers and sisters, and is well disposed to them. That means then that we respect them in such a way that we acknowledge that, this sounds strange, but it comes from when God rested on the seventh day, that God is not in charge. He's not in charge. God has rested, if you will. He still loves us, but he's given all of this to us. We have created this world, not God in which we live. He set the foundations, and the foundation is goodness. So this is why in kindness we act in a goodly manner towards the other who is good by God's own creation and blessing. And that leads to the second aspect of kindness. Kindness is the disposition to suffer with another, regardless of the circumstances or the consequences. To suffer with another, regardless of the circumstances of their suffering or the consequences of our kindness toward them. I'll give you an example. I'll use Jan right here. So Jan's just a little old lady. She's driving home from church in the middle of a driving snowstorm. She runs over a nail and her tire goes and is flat. So everyone drives by Jan and she gets out with her little cane and she's scared and it's cold and no one will stop. But the one who does stop is the one who shows that he or she is disposed towards the goodness of her life and is willing to suffer with her. Jesus told that beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan, when here was a person of unidentified knowledge or origin who is beaten up by robbers and left for dead. And so a priest walks by, and what does the priest do? Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, and keeps going. And then a Levite walks by. They were the temple workers. They helped the priests. A Levite walks by, and what does he say and do? Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, but I'm not going to do anything to change your circumstances. No, a Samaritan comes by, bitter enemy of this man. Regardless of the concept, the circumstances, or the consequences, he could have been beaten up. The robbers could have been in that hole. He could have been killed by others who said, don't touch him, you're a Samaritan and he's a Jew. No, so he heals him, puts him on his donkey, provides for his care, even says, I will pay you more money if that's what you need to care for this man. Jesus says he's the one who was kind to the Samaritan. So kindness, disposition to the life of the other that is good, and the willingness, therefore, to suffer with the other regardless of the circumstances or the consequences. The third virtue that I'll speak about is the virtue that is, if you will, as Paul puts it, that one is not inflated. But we call that virtue courtesy. We are courteous toward one another. What is courtesy? The word courtesy literally comes from the word the court. Court. In those days, they had kings and queens, and it was believed that kings were instituted by God. They were divinely right in their kingship. And so they had all these courts and all the members of the court who served them. So their families, their secretaries, their ministers and ambassadors, and all of those people were called courtesans, the courtesans of the king. And they acted as courtesans towards the king and one another in a courteous way. That still plays itself out in our own day and age in diplomacy. Diplomats are taught that when you are visiting, for example, with a Japanese diplomat, you behave this way so as to not offend her. When you're visiting with a Costa Rican diplomat or president, you behave in this way so as to not offend him. So courtesy still plays itself out in diplomacy, because without courtesy, wars can happen. But in our regard too, courtesy is this. Courtesy is the honest judgment about who the other is, and especially the vocation or role that the other plays in our life and in our common life, and the honest judgment of who I am in that same regard. And thus, courtesy is the definition of a proper behavior towards the other because of who one is. For example, when I was with Archbishop Stafford as his secretary, this was after World Youth Day, President Clinton was once coming to town. President Clinton was pushing an agenda or policy item of monies to be spent on the care of the elderly and the old, Social Security, Medicare, and so on. So the White House called up the Little Sisters of the Poor up here in Lowell, and they asked if the President Clinton could please visit the Little Sisters of the Poor home when he came to Denver. The Mother Superior got very nervous about that and called up Archbishop Stafford and said, "Archbishop, the White House has called and the President wants to come and visit the Little Sisters of the Poor. I want to say no because he's pro-abortion, but what should I do?" And Archbishop Stafford said, "You must welcome the President. You must welcome him to the Mullen Home for the Poor. He is our President. The people of our nation have asked him to govern us. We respect that. And we are behaving, I would say, in a courteous manner towards him then, and therefore towards all of our brothers and sisters as citizens, when we show him hospitality and welcome." So he came, and it was a wonderful visit. So courtesy, on one hand, says this: there are those who are responsible for our common good. And it is not Archbishop Aquila. It is not Pope Francis. It is not even me. The church teaches that the common good is entrusted to legitimate civil authority. So the legitimate civil authority right now over the United States is President Biden and our Congress. So we respect that and in a courteous manner seek to cooperate with them as if welcoming the president to our home even. And the legitimate civil authority of the state of Colorado is Governor Jared Polis. We have elected and asked him to govern our state. So we cooperate in courtesy with his governance, as well as our state legislature. And the mayor of Denver is Mike Johnston. The people of Denver have asked him to serve us as our leader. So we are courteous and with one another in our respect for their role in our common society. And we are courteous with one another in view of what? In view of, on one hand, that God, as St. Paul says, has given each of us gifts to build up the community, to build up the common good, to care for one another. So courtesy draws out of them, as a diplomat, draws out of them their gift. And courtesy is the ultimate form then of respect. To see, respectare, res, the truth, spectare, to see the truth of the other. Because one is truthful as to who one is in his or her regard and in our common mission. Now, two things negatively come from that. The first is that without a lack of patience, without a lack of kindness, without a lack of courtesy, those three are the first aspects of our love to one another. So not being patient or kind or courteous, the withdrawal of love is in some sense a violence towards the other or a violence towards the community in which we live. So kindness brings about peace. Patience brings about love. Courtesy brings about respect. And when we begin to lose those, well, I want to share with you this simple quote from where I am taking most of the theology concerning these virtues, from a wonderful, very, very renowned theologian, Romano Guardini, an Italian, and he wrote this book called The Virtues in 1936. And listen to what he says, especially when we begin to lose kindness and courtesy. The divine right of kings no longer exists. Where there is a king, he is limited. Our life is no longer in the form of an ascending and descending hierarchy, but is on all one level, democratically structured and increasingly so. This equality, felt and demanded everywhere, causes the earlier forms of courtesy to disappear. But mere leveling is chaos. And without courtesy, soon a dictatorship replaces the hierarchy with force and violence, taking the place of reverence. Without courtesy, we are in danger of being ruled by a dictator. Kristallnacht, the mass genocide of the Jews, and Hitler's desire to take over our lives, and was succeeding at it until we fought back on the shores of Europe, came about at this exact time. So I'm issuing this not simply as a way of continuing to prepare for Christmas, to prepare for the second coming of Jesus. Let's grow in patience and kindness and courtesy, but let's grow in this way in a more democratic, in a more just and equal society, in a society where we do not judge another by the color of his skin or the border of her birth or the language of their lips, but are kind and patient. We are courteous towards all. A world in which nations, because of the people whom they govern, are the same towards one another, so that the wars in Gaza and Israel, Somalia, Ukraine, everywhere will stop. This is not the world that Christ left us. It's only the world we've created, so we can uncreate it and we can raise it from the dead to a life of patience and kindness and courtesy and humility and love. It's a great way to prepare for Christmas, because when we do, we say to Satan himself, no, we want to live in the world of Christ, not in your world of darkness, depression, disease, destruction, danger. No. Patience, kindness towards all, and courtesy towards each. And we will have a happy new year, and everyone will live happily ever after. Just not in pink. God bless.